Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by Baylife Church, Port Stephens. We hope you find this message challenges and inspires you in your daily Christian walk. For more information, visit www.baylifechurch.org.au.
How are we? That's good. Wasn't that a great song we just finished with? I will build my life on a firm foundation. Because when things come, if we're not built on a firm foundation, we're going to go right over the edge. We're going to sink. And God is our firm foundation. And if we're not trusting in Him, we're really going to struggle. So last week, I'm just going to do a quick recap of last week. And it's really interesting because someone said to me this morning, you know, you're sharing about Job and then this happened to Clinton. I'm like, right, okay. Is God saying something there? Well, no, not really. You know, the thing is, you know, having lost a child and have a son tell you he's on his way to hospital, just the sound of his voice is good enough for me. I don't need to see anything else. You know, God is good all the time. You know, and, you know, it's simply trusting God all the time. We need to understand we're not in control of anything. We have no control over, we can make as many plans as we like, but God can upturn the plan within a second, you know, and you never know when that's going to come, you know, and I think I've said it a few times up here, things come left field and you don't know when they're going to come left field. And if your feet are not firmly planted on that foundation that we've just been speaking about, look out. You know, because you can easily lose your way. And I'll share a little bit along that as I go. But just a quick recap from last week. We looked at that Job had, he lost everything that he had. And I was sharing why I spoke on Job, because I spent a lot of time in Job when I lost my own daughter to help me move through on my journey so I could move forward in my own life. And we know that he lost his children, he lost his livelihood, all his stock were either killed or stolen from him, and even his employees were killed. So much devastation around his life, and then in the end his own health was attacked. And then of course his wife said, well, you know, Job, just curse God and die, just get on with it, you know. What I did mention too last week was that the attack was never against Job's wife. The conversation took place in heaven. It was about my servant Job. There's no one quite like him. He's devoted to me, says God, and he hates evil with a passion, which means he hates you, Satan. You know, and that has got to be our testimony too, is that we're devoted to God, yeah? That we hate those things that are evil. And as we know, his friends came and sat down with him. And it was interesting what you were sharing this morning, Anaren, about being by yourself, being alone. You know, his friends came and sat with him, which we went, that's pretty cool, for 7 days. But as soon as he had the meltdown, they didn't want to really know about that. You know, nobody likes people being brutally honest. It's like we squirm inside. It's like, don't tell me that. Tell me anything, but not that. Because to be honest, we don't have the wisdom or the insight to deal with that. And the only way we can know is to run to God's presence. And that is where we're going to find our answers, in God. Our friends cannot meet our needs. It is limited. Leaders around us cannot meet our need. It is limited. There are so many limitations in our life, but our God is unlimited. He has a great, vast source of wisdom for us. And so we run to him. As we know, his friends couldn't handle it to the point that they accused him of all sorts of things, of why these terrible things have happened to him, like your first-class moral failure. I just love that. Well, if they called him a first-class moral failure, well, guess what? They were too. So, you know, I mean, this finger's pointing at you. Well, it's pointing back at me. So, you know, there was no end to what they did. And as we know, God stepped into the situation because all he wanted was an audience with God. He just wanted to plead his case with God. And sometimes that's all we want to do, is just plead our case with God. And to the point he called them a bunch of pompous quacks, you know, which I just love that. I might use that in my everyday life. You quack. You know, but God gives him a lesson on nature, creation, the seasons, the weather, the times. It would have blown Job's mind away. And you know, if God had that conversation with us, and he wants to, if we let him speak that deep into our lives, he can blow us away. Instead of allowing God to be that small, he is so big. He is so enormous. He is so amazing. And as I said, like he said to Job, hey, if you want my job, here it is. You do it. You know, the moment God says that to us, what do you know? We really know nothing. We know zilch. You know, we can walk around thinking we know everything, that we know the word of God inside and out. Well, I don't. I know nothing. I know this, that God loves me unconditionally. I know that. And I thank him for his grace. And Job understood this after his conversation with God, that he would never live just off rumors of God. But the good, important thing is to get to know God and not just know of him. And so he had a revelation of who God was. And it's okay to know of God, but let's get to know him deeper. Let's get to know him more, because there is such more of God that we've never even tapped into. So I'm just moving on. I've called this moving forward, because in our lives, if we stay stuck where we are, we're going to sink. We need to move forward in our lives. And of course, God begins to deal with Job's friends, and he says to them, you guys talk rubbish. You've talked absolute nonsense all this time to my servant Job, where he's been honest with how he feels. And because of that, you're going to make a sacrifice, and my servant Job is going to pray for you, and I will accept his prayer. I'll accept his prayer. In other words, Job had to pray for his friends. There was something which God had asked Job to do, where it's easy to run to the back of the book and go, and God just blessed Job and gave him everything he wanted. God said to Job, you're going to pray for your friends, and I'll accept your prayer for them. And sometimes for us to move forward in life, we need to pray for people that have done us wrong. We want it all our own way. We want a one street. There is no one street. We need to come to God and ask forgiveness for those that have wronged us. Pray for them. Pray that God would restore them, that God would take them to a new level, that God would do something in their lives. So God had a requirement and a task for Job to do before God did a single thing. He didn't say to Job, if you do this, I'll give you everything back. That's not what he said. He said, this is what I want you to do. And sometimes we go, what's in it for me? It's not about what's in it for you. God's done everything he's ever going to do for us. He's with us all the time. You see, if we don't forgive others, we can't move forward, even if they don't deserve it. I mean, after being that long, spending that amount of time with those people, Job was probably thinking they don't deserve it. But you know, we can't spend our lives holding grudges against people. We have to move forward, because if we don't, we're carrying heavy loads around on our shoulders, and it will weigh us down. We can be filled with stubbornness and our own self-righteousness. Well, I'm better. None of us are better. You know, the Bible says there's not one righteous. No, not one. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And so our righteousness alone will not stand. And it was only after that that God restored everything to Job, and he doubled it. Well, I wouldn't mind that. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? He doubled it to the point that something happened after he did what God had asked him to do. The family started to come around, the friends, the acquaintances. They started to come around and they started to console him. But not only did they console him, they brought him gifts. They brought him presents. They gave him gold. Imagine that. I wouldn't mind that sort of friends. Gold, bringing you gold. I mean, what an amazing gift to bring you. And God restored everything back to Job. It says that he blessed his life more than his first part of his life. That all his animals, they all doubled as well. Everything. Everything went Job's way. But Job's life was totally changed. It was not the life he had had before. You see, you can't go back to what you had. You can only move forward in life. You can't live in the past because the past is miserable. You have to move forward to find the joy and peace that God wants to give us. So restoration was taking place in his life. God wants to restore us. We don't get restored by running away from God's presence, but we get restored by coming to God's presence. You know, just like Anonim was sharing before, you know, people get shipwrecked in their life because what happens to them? They lose their faith along the way and they never come back. And I have met people that have blamed God for things that have happened in their life. It doesn't matter how rich they are, they're going to keep on blaming God. It doesn't matter what they've got in life. They lay the blame at God's feet and refuse to move. You see, God is in the business of restoring us to himself. You know, without trusting in God, we can't please him. We need faith to please God. He says, Job said this, you know, in his quest for God, which I just love, and we've all heard it before. He says this, because even if he killed me, I'd keep on hoping. In another version, it says this, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know, to trust God in the midst of terrible things is the greatest thing we can ever do. Now, that might sound tough, but that's what God loves. God loves it when we trust him in the hardest, darkest, deepest times of our lives. That's what God rewards, is that. And because Job ran to God in his desperate need, he found God in the midst of everything that was going on. Now, when I looked at all this, I thought, okay, God, you've given him a new life. You've done something different in his life. But did Job get a new wife? Now, I've heard people say all sorts of things about Job's wife. I've heard preachers say, well, he got a new one. Oh, I've never read that. I believe it was the same wife because God restores. And God was restoring the relationship that had been smashed, broken down. And if God can restore from that terrible ordeal that happened, God can do things in our lives. God does restore. You know, if God restored their relationship, which I believe he did, it's the same wife, it means this, that she had 10 more pregnancies. Have you thought of that? You see, we quickly go to the end of the book and go, and he got 10 children back. No, no, no. If this is the same wife, 10 more pregnancies, which means in total she had 20 children, which means she had 20 pregnancies. That is a lot. And I thought about this and went, wow. You know, I thought about that, you know, it's easy to say they got their 10 children back. They weren't the same 10 children. They weren't the same. They looked different. They had different personalities. They had different gifts and different talents. And they loved these children that God had given them. And I'll come to that in a minute. But you know, they would have grieved for the children that they had lost. They would never, ever forget the children that they had lost. You know, because things happen in our lives doesn't mean that we forget. But we have to move forward with what happens in our lives. You know, his livelihood was different. Because now, yes, he had double the animals, But they weren't just the same animals. It wasn't just Molly the cow out there anymore. It was a different cow. I called this one Molly Ann. You know, there were, and because the property and the region and the place that he lived and established, because he'd lost all his employees that had died, he also had to have double the amount of employees, different staff to deal with. Everything was completely different. Nothing was the same. But you know what? When I read the story of Job, I see this. There had been a shift in his thinking. And when things happen in your life, there's a shift that takes place in your thinking. When you experience a terrible loss, you will do one or two things. You will either go down a negative path or you'll go a positive path. Your thinking will go either way. Your negative will cause you to be damaged goods. Where if you think the right way, you can find your way back. And we need to find our way back to God. If we've lost our way, we need to have a shift in our thinking. You know, once I put a high value on different things, but you know, through my loss, those things I don't value anymore. My values have changed. Completely changed. I think more about kingdom things these days. I think more about how this life is so short and how everything's so temporal. Before, I never thought like that. I would hear it in church and go, yeah, I agree with that. But now I really own it because I see that life is so temporal. And we live in such a materialistic me world where we're so self-indulgent that we can't never be satisfied. We have generations that can't get enough. And they can't get enough media. They can't get enough of anything. And so we live in this world where we're just never satisfied. But God wants to satisfy us. You know, and we can just be in a religious mode if we're not careful. Let's want more of God. You see, you can't encounter God and not be changed. Job was a changed man. You can't. You can't. You can't encounter God and not be changed. Something happens. And I noticed Job did this. He names his daughters that God had given him. And one is called Jemima, which signifies a turtle or a dove. And the word dove, as we know, is also signified the Holy Spirit. Then there's Keziah, which signifies spice closely allied to cinnamon. And his other daughter, he names Karen, Hapuk, which means dark eyes. And all the names imply this, sweetness or beauty. And the Bible says this, there was none as beautiful as Job's daughters in all the country. They were stunning. Absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. Absolutely stunning. But you know, I noticed in Job chapter 1, I've looked at it in different versions, and it says this, that that Job used to make sacrifices for his sons when they had their parties just in case they sinned. But I notice it never said that about the daughters. But I find it very interesting that he writes about his daughters here. And I think it's because he realizes just how valuable they are. They're highly prized. And he has a different perspective also on his daughters. He'd had to completely shift in what had happened in his life. You see, their father treated them as equals with their brothers and provided them the same inheritance. Now, if you didn't know this, back in the day, you didn't give an inheritance to your daughters. The sons had the lot. So before his loss, his other, the seven sons that passed away would have had all the inheritance. But there'd been a shift in his thinking because now the girls were to share in exactly the same inheritance. The only way the girls could have an inheritance back in that day is the father had no sons. It's an amazing thought. You see, he wasn't concerned about what other people thought. And we can be so busy concerned about what other people think of us that we just lose out on what God's got for us. Or we decide to be so timid that God can't use me, so we don't do anything. Where God has given us all gifts and talents to use. You see, Job had a shift in his thinking. The loss of his 10 children had made that shift possibly. He wanted to bless his children equally. And I think of this, I think of God the Father. And I think how he wants to share all of us the same inheritance. Every single one of us. You see, Job saw his children as equals. And if we have an encounter like Job had with God, he got such a dressing down from God. And I think if we got a dressing down from God, we'd have a permanent shift too. But now, well, we would, wouldn't we? We'd be permanently shifted. But you know, the Bible says this, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, because we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And I just thought how Job had this revelation of just giving his daughters the same. And that's what God does with us. We have a great inheritance because we are joint heirs with Christ. It says, in him we've obtained an inheritance, a kingdom inheritance. And the Bible says, and if we are children, then heirs. And we are heirs of God and we are joint heirs with Christ. You know, some people just wait around for an inheritance, don't they? You know, I need some money. Maybe I've got a rich uncle somewhere, rich auntie. Maybe they're getting close. Who knows? I better find out or ring them or contact them. You know, like, you know, what's valuable to one person in an inheritance isn't valuable to someone else. And I heard of how this, I think it was this week I heard it, about a letter that had been written on the Titanic to his mother. And he says in this letter to his mother, he said, hey, we're doing all right. You know, the music's great. The food's great. More or less are hoping we make it type thing. You know, and as we know, they never made it. And this letter, this water-stained letter was found on the body of the man. And I was thinking, why are they wanting to auction this letter off? Like, why would they do that? You know, like, I mean, to me, that would be priceless if that was my son, yeah? That wrote that to me. I wouldn't sell it. I wouldn't be auctioning it. But, you know, as time's gone by in the years, whether it's landed on someone else's lap in the family, they're not emotionally attached at all. And they've gone, I'll buy a house with this. I'll sell this. This is worth something here. This is monetary value. And he says at the moment, I think it's worth $105,000, this letter, at auction. I mean, that's a lot of money. But to the mother, it would have been priceless, absolutely priceless. You know, and Job's children was priceless. But let me tell you, you are priceless. You're absolutely priceless. You know, our inheritance doesn't have a money value. There's no monetary value on our inheritance because our inheritance cost our Savior his life. It cost him his blood. It cost him everything. Job lost everything, but Jesus Christ gave everything of himself to us that day. Everything. He was stripped of everything and spurned by the whole world. Spurned by everyone that could ridicule him because he is our great inheritance. When he died for us, he had us on his mind. We were in his thoughts. All he wanted us to do was spend eternity with him, be part of that great inheritance. You know, our dad, our Father God, he owns it all. He owns the kingdoms of the world. Everything that we see belongs to our dad. And because it belongs to our dad, it's ours. Everything is ours. And so to move forward, we need to have a different perspective in our lives. You know, we need to know that we have that great inheritance in God that's never going to fade, never ever going to perish. It says this, that to an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away is reserved in heaven for you. That is amazing. God has that for us right now. But let me tell you, you don't need to wait to get to heaven to have that. You can have peace in your life. You can have joy. You can have forgiveness. That also includes forgiving yourself. You can have healing. You can have restoration. What is it you need? Is it financial breakthrough you need? What is it that you need? What is it we want from God? What is it? Well, first of all, we've got to start to change our thinking. Have a shift in our thinking that God loves me. Sometimes it's hard to even accept that God loves me. Let me tell you, He does. He loves you with an unconditional love, no matter what we've done. And here, Nairn was saying about being alone. We're never alone when God is with us. God wants to be part of our lives. He is intimate with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to be part of us. We need a shift in how we think and have a kingdom perspective and how we live our lives. We need to let go of those that have wronged us. Stop holding on to it. Let it go. I've met many Christians that hold loads of grudges. And I tell you what, I've got family members too. Ones you've never met. They don't all go to church. I can show you some. But you know what? I have to forgive them no matter what. Pray for them. Bless them. Pray that they'll find God. That forgiveness will come into their lives. People need the Lord. And as if we're kingdom dwellers and if we're part of this kingdom and if God is our great inheritance, we all have a responsibility to change the way we think. We all have a responsibility to pray for those around us. We all have that responsibility to think different and not think so small, but start to think how God sees us, to have that shift in our thinking. We belong to an eternal kingdom, and we are partakers of His kingdom. You know, just going to finish with this, you know, like, remember Clinton in the ambulance yesterday, you know, just ringing me and saying, oh, yeah, I'm all right, Mum. Well, that's good, sunshine. You know, on his way to hospital. And I'm like, you know, I thank you, God, that I can trust you. I can trust you, God. I've trusted you before and I continue to trust. You know one thing? We can't stop taking risks in life because something happens to us. I'm like, well, Clint, when you're better, you'll be out there again. I could have this, oh, you're not going out there. You know, life is made for living. And God has given us this great life. We need to live this life now and live it the best we can. That is also our inheritance right now. And Job continued to live and saw his grandchildren and lived. And we need to live like there's no tomorrow. Now, someone said to me the other day, well, you know, something always happens to you, Jenkins. Well, no, not really. We're just living life. I said to Phil the other day, you know, we're going to this Royal Caribbean on December with the kids, and I said, I'm going to wait till the second last day again when we're on the ship so I can go in that wave rider. You know, because I did it last time, wait for the second last day, and I think I was probably the only one in my age group. But life is made for living, isn't it? I'm going to live. And in that, trust God and thank Him. And I'm so thankful. And right now, I'm believing and trusting that God is going to heal Clinton's foot 100%. 100%, that even when he gets elderly, he'll never need a walking stick. He'll never have arthritis. And that he'll be able to do the job that he wants to do and continue to do. You know, God has good health for us right now. It is our inheritance. Do you want it? Or we can say, well, we know it's in the Bible, but it's not for today. It's for today. You have to choose whether you want it. You know, we need to know, are we believers or not? Do we go after the things of God or not? They're there for us. This kingdom is for us. We're part of God's kingdom. Let's live like kingdom people, thinking the way God wants us to think. Let's have a shift in our thinking. Amen? Amen.
Thanks for listening to the message today brought to you by Baylife Church. We hope the message leaves you feeling challenged and inspired to live out your Christian walk. Please tune in again for next week's message.